What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we are joined by Vapor Trail's very own Ricky Brewley. And today's episode is all about our bow setups. We talk about our bows, what we like about them, our arrows, what we like about them, what we don't like about them, what we've changed in the past years. We talk about our sights and our rests and the things that we would like to change or have changed in the past. And we talk about things like my shoulder and how that has impacted my draw weight or could potentially impact my draw weight. Today, actually, I went to go pick up my mount from Old Barn Taxidermy in Fort Madison, Iowa, and we had a conversation about me getting more injections in my shoulder. And so I scheduled another injection for my shoulder and another injection for my knee to prepare for the upcoming season. And I kind of had almost a come to Jesus moment where I feel like I'm going to have to drop down in my draw weight next year and go to 75 or excuse me, and go to 65, 60 pounds if nothing happens. All right. Like if nothing is fixed. So those types of conversations are kind of infused in this episode, but it's a good episode. I know you guys are going to enjoy it. It's a gear, straight up gear nut podcast. So enjoy that. want to take an opportunity to say thank you to our partners here on the Hunting Gear Podcast. If you guys are looking for any type of real or synthetic deer urines, if you're looking for a mock scrape kit that is better than any other mock scrape kit that I've tried, if you're looking for scent elimination products, laundry detergent sprays, things like that, go check out Code Blue Scents at codebluescents.com. I do have a discount code NFC20, and that's going to save you 20%. Next on the list is Feed Hub. If you guys are able to run feeders in the state that you hunt in, or out after, before or after the season, you got to check out the Feed Hub. This is a product by Moultrie Mobile, and what it does is it attaches to any spin cast feeder, and it allows you to remotely control and schedule on-demand feeding times. So it goes through the Moultrie Mobile app, and you can set feeding times, you can check your feed levels, you can run an unclog cycle, and a variety of other options there to choose from. So go check out the Feed Hub at MoultrieMobile.com. And then last but definitely not least, the new 3.0 Reveal trail cameras from Tacticam. Tacticam has a variety of trail cameras now that you guys can check out, but definitely go check out the 3.0 Pro and the 3.0X. When I tell you that they're easy to use and that it is literally scan a QR code, click two clicks, I believe it's select your plan and then connect the camera, it is as easy as pie. So go check out Reveal Trail Cameras at tacticam.com/cameras. And that's it. Quick intro today. Hopefully you guys enjoy your weekend. And if you're already hunting, good luck out in the field, and we'll talk to you next time. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we are joined by the host of the Range Podcast right here on the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, Mr. Ricky Brule. Ricky, my man, how are you doing?
How's it going, everybody? I am well. How are you, man?
I'm doing good.
Awesome.
Dude, I hate to say it. Like, I don't, like, you're never given your name, right? You never have a choice of your name. You're given it, right? Your parents said you're going to be a Ricky or a Rick. Dude, that, like, the name Rick to me is just really a badass name. Like, if I was a kid, and I was going up through middle school and I knew a kid named Rick, I'd either want to be his friend or I would want to avoid him because I feel like a guy named Rick could kick some ass.
Yeah, you got to watch out for this Rick. I got a black belt in Taekwondo too. So,
oh, you do in real life? You do?
Yeah.
For real. That's awesome, dude. So you can kick a little ass.
Well, that's debatable. I mean, I haven't trained in a very, very long time. So, but yeah, it is funny you say that because I only know a few other Ricks as well. But my real name is Ricky, and that's what my mom always called me. So I thought it was weak to be called that. So I always told everybody, call me Rick. Yeah. But now I'm embracing it now because it is my real name, and it's very uncommon because most people go, oh, your real name's Richard, right? And I'm like, nope, it's Ricky. And they're like, really? What? So anyway. Yeah.
Because Richards are dicks, right? If your name is Dick, it's Richard. Like, your real name is Richard. So I don't get the correlation between Ricky and Richard, but Rick and Ricky, I get it.
Yep.
But it's either like, so I myself have had, when I was a kid, several years of Taekwondo training. And I think, let's see, what's it go? I know different kinds of Taekwondo have different belts, but for us I believe it went white, yellow belt, then was it like an orange belt?
Orange,
then purple.
Purple? I think you're
purple, then brown, then black.
Well, the way I think we were white, yellow, orange, then we went to, I think it was green,
okay, yeah,
then blue, then purple. Then there was purple trim, and then there was brown, red, black is how our school did.
Yeah, we didn't have red. We went brown, then black. Mm. Anyway, let's see. I got into the orange. So after yellow, and then that's when I gave up taekwondo and started doing sports full time. Mm-hmm. So
right on.
Instead of taekwondo, but dude, I could break a mean board with a front kick.
Oh, I bet.
Oh yeah,
I bet.
Watch out, man. But and that's why I told my daughter, like, if I'm gonna give you any piece of advice, and we were at the dinner table. She's like, "Dad, I got a bully at school," and I said, "Give him the DDK." Like, what's the DDK? I said, "It's the double dick kick." And she's like, "What you?" She freaked out. I go, "Just be patient with me. The double dick kick is you kick him in the dick one time, they're gonna go down. But if they don't go down, then you kick him in the dick again, and then they're gonna go down."
Well, I tell you what, any dude that could take two more than one dick kick, his name must be Rick.
Must be Rick. Rick can take double dick kicks all day long. Well, this is an awesome start as far as conversation is concerned to the podcast. But okay, so it's now September, right?
Yep.
And we're getting close. We're getting close. So I have to share a story with you real quick.
Yeah.
I am in my office. I'm doing some editing, and the kids are downstairs, or they're down in the garage dribbling a basketball. I hear a crash. I go down to investigate. My bow is off the hook that it's usually hanging on, and on the floor of my garage.
Oh, no.
Okay. I look at it. Looks okay. I just like okay, it's fallen before. No big deal. Not on concrete, but it's fallen. It looked okay. 20, 30 yards. I went to go shoot it. Sounds okay. Everything's fine. I start stepping back. 40, 50, 60. Left. I'm shooting left. Okay, let's make some adjustments. I'm shooting left and high. Made some adjustments. Okay. I lowered it. I'm good. I'm still left. Adjustment, still left. Adjustment, still left. I'm pegged at this point. Can't go any further left to adjust.
Oh, man.
And so I'm really investigating my sight now because something's off with it. And sure enough, the housing that surrounds the pins is less of a circle and more like you could it's not a circle anymore. It's like it's ovalish.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh my God. Because I was shooting pretty well. And now I got to throw this in. I have to go buy a new sight. And the sight now, I've been shooting a React 5 for, I don't even know how many years now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a great sight. I feel very confident and comfortable in it. So I went up to look online how much they cost now, the one that I want to replace it. Holy shit, dude. Not only are bows expensive, but all accessories are expensive now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's wild.
You work for a company that sells bow accessories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wild. Like, I mean, when I first saw, sights coming out in the $500 mark, I was like, wow, that's amazing. And people are spending the money, you know, and it's like, and it's a competitive market too. So, you know, our biggest competitor in the arrow rest market is running a $300 arrow rest. And so, you know, and to keep up with that, as far as like the technology that's put into the rest and the parts and all everything, once you break it down, you figure out your cost of goods and you figure out what you got to charge your dealers. That's where you're at. The technology that's put into these products now, it's not, some people are like, oh man, that's price gouging. But really, I mean, some of the things that have to go into these products to make them what they are. And in order for it to be profitable, that's where you got to be.
Yeah. I will send a shout out to Vapor Trail though. I'm very hard on my equipment and I haven't had to make any adjustments to my rest since I've put it on my bow.
That's amazing.
It's locked tight. Strings are still tight. And this is going on season number four with it, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so it's locked tight. It drops, does exactly what it's supposed to do. The felt a little bit is starting to fray, but from a functionality standpoint, it's rock solid. And so I'm happy about that. You know, it's awesome because it's just one less thing that I got to deal with to get the bow ready for the season.
Right. Exactly. And you know, it's common for that felt to go. We've messed around with so many different materials, and it is honestly the longest lasting material we've been able to find. But I just keep telling customers, I'm like, well, here, let me send you some more. And then, you know, for each one of those you wear out, like, hang it somewhere, you know, in your shop as a badge of honor, because that's proof that you've been shooting a lot.
That's or dragging your bow through the worst environment possible, not treating it how you're supposed to be treating it, you know.
Or you hear a loud bang in the garage.
Exactly. Exactly. I can't wait till I get this new sight on my bow. I get it dialed in. I'm ready. And then something happens out west. And, you know, I'm at 50 yards from a mule deer, perfect broadside, relaxed, let the arrow go, my bow just explodes, right?
That'd be so terrible.
I'd probably just get back in my truck and drive back to Iowa.
Yeah, just, I'm done, I'm out, right?
Yep. So let me ask you something. Working in the industry, when you hear a kind of like the story that Matthews has had with their limbs recently, you've heard that story, right?
Yep.
Okay. So you hear the stories about the issues that they've been having in the past. That's happened to other bow manufacturers with their limbs, or there's a recall. Like, what do you think about when you hear that? Not as a end user of a product, but someone who works in the industry.
Well, I think it's really important that, you know, they approach the issue in the right way. I think Matthews handled that pretty well. I think they sent letters out to all of their dealers almost immediately. And, you know, traditionally their warranty was only good for the original user, but now they're allowing that warranty to pass on to a second user, which I think that's a really good response to how you handle that, you know. And I think in any industry, you know, these things happen, you know. I mean, I don't know, I could be wrong on this, but I'm doubting that Matthews is actually manufacturing the limbs in-house. I believe most manufacturers go to a fiberglass company, you know, outsource it to another company. And so you only have so much control, right? Like, you can take that particular run, you can put it through its paces and make sure that everything is good. But really the ultimate test is when that product goes out to the consumers. And so I think that's kind of what happened in this particular case. And, you know, it sounds like they identified the issue. It was a small run of bows, and hopefully it fixes it, but that's just the way it is. You can't, everything can't be manufactured perfectly all the time. You know, it's like the saying goes, you know, you don't want to have your product made on like a Friday, cause the, you know, whoever's working's just waiting for the bell to go off so they can go party or whatever, you know, so they're maybe not paying close attention. Who knows, you know, but and such a large scale too. They do so many bows every year. It's, you know, mind numbing. You know, we do a lot here, but we don't have to have a huge crew to put together what we have. So we have the opportunity to make sure things are being put together properly. And we've had that too. We've had some issues in the past, and, you know, we don't machine our parts in house, and we had a bad run, and best we can do is just make it right.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, man, I really appreciate it when companies do, they go out of their way to do that. From an end user, I'm not talking about just bow hunting or archery equipment, because there's a lot of companies out there, there will be a problem, and then what they'll do is, like, immediately they'll do a cost analysis to see if it's worth a recall or to change the warranty or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or you could just own up to the issue and say, we're going to take care of you. And when a company does that, it's almost like I'm sold on their company for the rest of my life.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, they've taken care of me, so I'm going to continue, like, my loyalty's going towards them. So,
Absolutely.
All right. So today, kind of getting into it, I want to talk a little bit about our bow setups this year, our arrow setups, sights, rests, things like that. And while it is on my mind, because it is a it's fresh on my mind because it's the last thing that I've updated with my entire gear set as far as my archery equipment is my arrows. Okay. Mm. So let's kick it off. Why don't you share us your arrow setup and why you have chosen to have that arrow setup?
So I think we talked a little bit about this in the previous episode that we did, but G5 came out with a new arrow last year. Mm-hmm. It's called the SPAX. And, you know, I'd been shooting an Easton injection for years, probably 6, 7, maybe 8 years or something like that. They didn't even make them anymore. And so I was just kind of looking to try something new, play around with some stuff. And to be honest, I can't tell you exactly what the technology is that they've put into it, because they're not really promoting it a ton right now. But I have 2 dozen arrows that I fletched up, and they're flying great. I shot them at TAC in South Dakota, and they were flying really good. And so I was really kind of excited about that. They're making, you know, the components are a pretty big deal. If they're not machining a solid component, that can be a problem. And what I mean by the component is the insert on the end that your field point, your broadhead goes into, you know. And so I've run into that in the past where I've had an arrow that the components weren't so good, so you couldn't get a broadhead to spin well, all that kind of stuff. And so that's pretty important. And all of my arrows, all my broadheads, everything are spinning real good on that shaft. So, it's been a really cool change, and I haven't made a lot of changes in years past. I used to change up all the time, sometimes multiple times in a year, just to play with different stuff. But those injections worked really good. I probably had like 4 dozen of them, I think. And I just, you know, then you have kids and now you don't have the time to really explore and mess around with stuff, you know? So it was like, it worked, and that's what I stuck with. But now I've had an opportunity to play around a little bit. So those arrows have been flying great. I drew my North Dakota mule deer tag this year, so I've been practicing a lot out to distance. And, you know, I'm hitting a pie plate at 80 yards, so I'm pretty happy with that. Yeah. I don't anticipate taking a shot that far. You know, when I was a little bit more spry a decade ago, I could, but now I'm more concerned about getting closer. And, So, hang on a second. It seems like I'm having a problem with my video here. Okay. Must be okay now.
Yep. You're good.
But yeah, so that's the setup. I'm shooting a AAE hybrid 26 vane, and again, same thing. Just something I wanted to play around with. I had a buddy of mine recommend. He's a rep for AAE. Well, he was a rep for OutTech, you know him, Mr. Ben Guttormson, and he recommended the hybrid 26. And when he recommends something, you take it serious. And so, I'm doing a 3-fletch, and that's steering my arrows great. And then I used to shoot Grim Reapers. I shot Grim Reaper broadheads for the better part of a decade, and now I'm actually going to make the switch over to the G5 Mega Meat. Okay. And those are flying really good too. And you know, a lot of it is kind of about relationships too. You know, I've been good buddies with Matt Bateman for many years at Grim Reaper. Mm-hmm. And I even told him, I said, "Hey man, I'm going to switch it up. I hope there's no hard feelings. I just want to try something different." So for this upcoming hunt I have in North Dakota, we're actually going to film it. I've got a videographer and a photographer coming out with me. And so I'm also shooting a prime bow, and along with that, I'll be shooting the G5 Mega Meat broadhead and the G5 SPAX arrows.
Awesome. Awesome. Let me ask you a question. This is a change that I made this year. Do you have straight fletchings, or do you have yours angled at all?
I do a 3-degree helical right. Mm-hmm. Right helical.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So I've never done a helical before until this year. So last week I had some arrows built. I'm a 4-fletch guy. I don't know why. One year I just went to a 4-fletch, and I think it was in preparation for longer shots in windier conditions. And mm-hmm. for some reason I read that those help when you're out west. 4-fletch helps stabilize faster, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's always been straight. This year, I've had my arrows built. I believe it was a 1 or 1.5 helical, a right helical on my arrow. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to tell, but I feel like this year with that helical, I feel like my arrows are stabling out faster because of the rotation. Mm-hmm. It's hard to see that from where you're standing and how fast the arrows are traveling these days. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's more stability in my shot, and I can hear my arrow hit the target. This is going to sound weird, but at like a more efficient sound, like it's a okay. pop at mm-hmm. the end of, you know, at the shot when it hits the target. Sure. And so I don't know, man, like maybe I'm just making shit up. I am not a arrow expert. I'm not a, like the guy who can tell you about arrow flight and stuff mm-hmm. like that. It's mm-hmm. just a gut. It's a confidence thing. And so in the past I've made decisions that I didn't necessarily feel confident about. Now I've made this change, along with I'm shooting a fixed blade this year instead of a mechanical. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like I feel confident in my arrow, and it's stabling out faster and getting to my target straighter. If that means anything to you.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that about your confidence level, because,
yeah.
And I love these conversations, cause I can go deep, you know. I've been doing this for, you know, the better part of a decade, and I probably don't go as down as deep a hole as like the ranch fairy might or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I love having these conversations, but ultimately in the end, I think for most people, you're really splitting hairs. You know what I mean? It just depends yeah. on the distance you're going to shoot, all those kinds of things. I mean, from a physical standpoint, I think there's been slow motion video that proves that a helical or an offset is going to stabilize your arrow faster, which in turn then is going to help give you better downrange accuracy. And when I think about downrange accuracy, I'm thinking about, you know, 40, 50 plus. Mm-hmm. Because that's where I've noticed the biggest shift. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have too many deer duck an arrow at 20 yards, but at 40, mm-hmm. it's different. You know, I feel like 40 yeah. is kind of like that. It's 40 yards shots are the most ones that make me the most nervous, to be honest. Yeah. And the ones where I'll actually aim a little lower. And again, not an expert, you know, somebody might argue with me on that one, and that's okay. But, you know, I run a 3-degree offset, not an offset, but a helical, and I do right. I do a right helical, and the reason I do a right helical is I've always done a right helical, and I've never had a problem with it. And the main reason also is because then that way your arrow is in a rotation where it's actually going to keep your point tight during the flight. If you have a left helical, your arrow is actually could loosen your point, if that makes any sense.
Almost because like riding a wheelie. Your arrow would ride a wheelie.
So I guess, yeah, sort of. I mean, it's because if you think about it, if you're holding the broadhead and you turn your arrow in a counterclockwise direction, that's how you get your field point out or your broadhead out. So if mm-hmm. you're putting a left helical on your arrow, you're effectively loosening your point on the shot. So I oftentimes end up with a loose tip, but the reason a lot of people are going to a left helical is because your arrow will clock out of the bow based on the direction that your strings are twisted in.
Yep. I found that out this, a couple of years ago.
Yep. And it's a wild phenomenon, but it is true. The first time I heard it, I was like, no, that's not, but it is a fact. And so with the way that the direction that 90% of the bowstring manufacturers twist their strings, your arrow will actually clock counterclockwise coming out of the bow. Mm-hmm. So then people want to continue that motion with a left helical. And so there's the argument that, okay, it's going to stabilize even faster now, because if you're putting a right helical, they're going to fight each other. The arrow is going to clock counterclockwise out of the bow, and then your fletching is going to counter that, and so now it's not going to stabilize as fast. And I've also heard people argue that it creates almost a slingshot effect, so it stabilizes your arrow even faster to do your directional helical the opposite. But I don't know. I can't prove it. You know, you can I refer a lot of people to one of Dudley's videos that he put out recently, and it was, he shot, it's like a dozen arrows. I think it was at like 70 meters. Some of them were, you know, left helical. Some of them were right helical. Some of them were, you know, a bunch of different configurations, right? But ultimately, in the end, they all were grouped very tight, like right in the vitals on a whitetail deer. And maybe having a helical or an offset or something like that might make it a little bit more forgiving for somebody who's not as much of an experienced archer, because Dudley is not a very good example, because I think he could take a, you know, a toothpick and probably stack them in there too with just his experience and the way that he can shoot. So again, splitting hairs, but the one thing that I like to tell people about the most is, like, I do a right helical. I'll have people argue with me that because of the way our strings are twisted, and I go, I don't care about any of that. I want to make sure that my point stays tight, and I haven't ever had a problem. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. So I've learned these things over the course of my life, my bow hunting career, I guess you would say, you know, about the string twist and helicals and arrow spin and, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. As a bow hunter, here's what I care about: that when I put my sight on the target and let that arrow go, I want that arrow to hit where that target goes. Yep. Now, that may sound extremely simple, right? And that's my goal. But I try to simplify everything in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, you got to make adjustments. Yeah, you know, you can't just put on a, you know, shoot your field points all day long and then put on a broadhead and say you're good to go. You got to adjust for that stuff. You learn all that stuff. But, like, I don't care what way my arrow spins. I don't care what, if it's wrong on the fletching. All I care about is that I have some consistency at the end of the, you know, at the end of the arrow path, and that is mm-hmm. on a target, and that I want my groups tight. That's my goal. I want to kill a deer because I want to put one through its lungs or heart. So if I'm off at 60 yards by a couple inches, for me, that's a pretty good at 60 yards, mm-hmm. you know, like, 'cause you're still, if you're off by 2 inches left, right, you know, north, south, you're still killing a deer, right? It's the major issues that I try to avoid. But but for me, I just, again, it comes down to confidence. Now you mentioned the man, the myth, the legend, Ranch Ferry. All right. And so that brings up another point. And are you an FOC guy at all? Do you care at all about FOC?
I care about it, but I don't think it needs to be extreme. As long as I'm within that, you know, I don't know what it is they recommend, 10 to 18%, something like that. My current arrow setup is like right at 10%. And again, for me, the biggest concern is how is my arrow flying, and what, you know, what is my kinetic energy coming out of the bow? Because then now I can determine what my kinetic energy is going to be at 60 or 70 yards or whatever it may be. You know, as long as you, I think for a white-tailed deer, they say it's somewhere around 30 foot-pounds of kinetic energy to get a pass-through on a white-tailed deer. So if I'm getting that type of kinetic energy out to 60, 70, 80 yards, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. What's your total arrow weight?
I want to say it's in the, it's like four, just under 430, I think.
Okay. All right. So, and what's your draw length?
28.5.
Okay. And that's what, do you measure your IBO at all, or your speed?
Yes.
What is that?
Actually, I got a data sheet here that I'm going to bring up just so I can be more accurate here, because I don't want to tell you something that I, let's see. So with this, with this particular setup right now, 428 grain arrow with 100 grain point. I averaged it at 287 feet per second.
Okay, so you're
getting
total
78 foot pounds.
Your total arrow weight is 428. That includes the broadhead.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So my total arrow weight, and, you know, again, differences. I don't care at all about FOC. That's not mm-hmm. my thing. Like, I've never cared about it. I, for some reason, I'm a total arrow weight guy. So my head is I'm shooting a 100 grain arrow. I'm shooting a 450 grain, or a, excuse me, 100 grain broadhead, a 450 grain arrow for, with a total arrow weight is somewhere around 550, 551. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about kinetic energy. All I know is it's heavy, and when it hits things, it pops. And when, like, a couple years ago when I went to a heavy arrow weight, like I had a heavy arrow weight, even with an expandable broadhead, I took a full frontal shot and absolutely destroyed a buck. Now, 550 total grains going at, you know, a 30-inch draw at, and coming out of that bow, I'm shooting a pretty heavy arrow. It's going a pretty decent clip, and I'm getting a good penetration with it. And so, and that was at 10 yards, right? And so I got probably all the way up to the fletchings on a full frontal shot. Now, broadside shots on whitetails, and this is kind of why I have decided to go to fixed blades, is because I don't want that energy loss, right? The heavy arrow helps push the, you know, helps push the broadhead through, but there is energy loss that I have noticed on mechanical broadheads, and it's from what I've seen from deer hunting, it is noticeable enough to slow down a broadhead enough at over 30 yards for my setup to not get a pass through if you're hitting bone or shoulder or something like that. Now, with a fixed blade and that arrow weight, I'm smoking things. I mean, 30 yards, even longer, I'm getting pass-throughs at that. So that I like a heavier arrow, just kind of like the hot knife through butter method, you know, to just try to make it as easy as possible. And so, and then this year, I'm thinking very heavily about arrow or energy loss with expandable broadheads. So this is why this year I have decided for at least my Western mule deer hunt that I'm going fixed blade, because I know that I need penetrating power at longer distances. Is it overkill? Maybe, but this is what I feel confident with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I agree with that, you know, to a degree. There's, you know, you want to have us at longer distances. You don't want to be trying to, you know, push a noodle through a deer, right? You want to have a stiffer arrow. It's going to give you more penetration, all of that. But again, you know, there's things you have to take into consideration, and this isn't to say that your setup is wrong. Obviously, again, confidence is such a big thing, and you know, there's a lot of factors that go into play. Like, so with my draw length and with your arrow, no chance would I even be able to get 80 yards out of my sight, because I'm not, I don't have a flat enough arrow. And so you got to take into consideration the hyperbola that is created from that arrow. And if you're going to be able to get enough movement out of your sight before now, you're literally shooting your sight housing to get the distance that you want. So that's the big thing for me is
I've run into that before.
Yeah. And I want to maintain a happy medium. You know what I mean? I don't want to go too light. You know, I could at 70 pounds, technically speaking, if I wanted to, I could go all the way down to a 350 grain arrow. It's 5 grains per pound. Mm-hmm. I did that math right, didn't I? 70 times five. But I'm north of that, you know, 75 grains. So, again, when I'm calculating things, you know, I shoot 125 grain .2, and then I look to see, okay, what is my sight tape going to look like? And how is, you know, what is the, what am I trying to say? I want to have the proper amount of speed as well at that distance, because kinetic energy is the main factor for what type of penetration you're going to see, aside from where you hit. Of course, if you hit a shoulder blade, you're not going to get as much penetration. But if you're comparing apples to apples and you're shooting, you know, perfect shot, double lung, that kind of thing, that kinetic energy is what's going to tell you how well that arrow is going to penetrate. and both speed and arrow weight are factors. So yeah. when your arrow weight starts to get so heavy that you start losing a certain amount of speed, now you're dropping that kinetic energy, which could actually give you less penetration despite how heavy your arrow is. So so you have to find that happy medium. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it just depends. It's different for every person. What's your draw length? You know, you're a bigger guy. You probably have a longer draw length. So you can get away with having that, heavier arrow, you know, that kind of thing. So,
yeah, I, those are things that I think about too. And I'm lucky because I have a 30 inch draw length and, I'm a 70 pound bow. So I have a little bit of push behind that arrow to allow it to continue to have speed downrange. And so have I tested it? No, but I'm just talking in regards to the impact that my arrow has on the target downrange. And it's popping it pretty heavily. However, and this is something that I actually think is cool. When I jumped up to a heavier arrow, I got to see the travel of the arrow. I got to see the arch in archery. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I really enjoy seeing the arch. You know, there's some of these videos you'll see on the internet where you see the a deer standing in a field, and then you see the arrow fletchings leave, you know, come from the center or, come from the right or left of the screen. And you're like, oh, my God, that he just missed it. It's high, you know, and then you see the arrow just drop right behind the shoulder and smoke whatever it does. I love that. And so I get that with a heavier arrow. And so that has nothing to do with statistics or anything. That's just cool. Like for me, that's cool. Cool to see.
Yeah.
Especially now 20, 30, 40, I don't see that, but 50, 60, I do.
Your little one grew 3 inches overnight. Adorable. Also expensive. Sell their pint-sized pieces on Depop and list them in minutes with no selling fees. Because somewhere, a dad refuses to pay full price for the clothes his kids will outgrow tomorrow. And he's ready to buy your son's entire wardrobe right now. Consider your future growth spurt budget secured. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, it kind of comes back to confidence, right? Because, man, if you want to rip that arrow through and stick it into the dirt on the other side of the deer 4 inches and that pumps you up, do it, man. If it kills the deer, hell yeah. You know what I mean? So I got a buddy locally here in Minnesota. It's mostly what he does. He's a saddle hunter. He hunts in trees, and he's got a 600 and some grain arrow. And when I ask the question why, he says, why not? How do you argue with that? Why not? Yeah. You're right. Why? Great. Yeah. Do it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. And so all of that said, so I shoot day six arrows, and I've shot them since they were the company. I had it on my old computer. I had a sticker, whatever that old company was. But then the guy bought it, turned it to day six. Great, great, high quality arrows. Love them. I love my setup with my Wasp. I'm shooting a Wasp Boss four blade. It's not a huge broadhead, but it's got four blades on it.
Yeah.
And I got it flying really well right now. And so I'm really looking forward to getting out to South Dakota, trying to take a shot at some muleys at
there you go.
60 inside 60. I'm not going past 60 on my setup, and I'm really looking forward to it. So I don't know, man. I feel confident with that arrow setup. I'm shooting a bow at the beginning of the season. I was debating on whether or not I wanted to get a new bow. I decided just from a time standpoint to stick with what I have. I'm shooting a Bowtech Solution. I've gotten comfortable with that over the years. It's a
great
good
bow.
Great bow. I feel great. I am great draw. Like for me, I'm a draw cycle guy.
Yeah.
Like that's what I care about. I'm comfortable with their draw cycle. Absolutely love it. And then outside of that, I'm shooting a vapor trail. Like
nice.
That's when you go, yeah, Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vapor trail.
And I want to say for the record, this isn't sponsored
no, it's
content.
Not.
And also
no, it's not.
I believe you've been shooting that arrow rest before I even met you. So
yes, absolutely. Yep. I've been shooting it for, well, I'll be honest with you. I've been shooting it since who bought Pure Archery Group bought Ripcord.
Yep.
That's
yep.
Then I bought one more Ripcord and then had some issues with it.
Mm.
And before that I could call the owner and be like, "Hey dude, what's up?" And he'd answer the phone and all that stuff, whatever, that, all that conversation aside. Mm-hmm. And then I had someone, I don't know if I reached out to Vapor Trail. It wasn't you or someone's like, "Dude, check out a Vapor Trail, get it limb driven. And I think you'll like it."
Yeah.
Got it. Boom. Kapow. Now I've had the same rest on my bow for 4 or 5 seasons now. And so I love Vapor Trail. No sponsor talk right there.
That's awesome. Yeah, definitely appreciate that. And that's one of the things too that we kind of strive on is, you know, a lot of people will say, "Well, you know, I don't want to shoot yours because it doesn't have a lockup feature." And I get that. People want it, but our argument is that you've created a more complicated mechanism, and the more complicated that mechanism gets, the more likely it is to fail.
Yep.
And so with our rest, as long as that cord is intact, and I have never had a problem with my cord not being intact, you know, it's going to come down guaranteed every single time. And so, you know, that's one of the things that we strive on is just to keep it simple, you know. And then, you know, we've experimented and we played around with different ways of trying to make it lock up and do all kinds of different stuff like that. And we just haven't been able to find a foolproof way that we are comfortable with. So they're bulletproof.
If this was a paid conversation about Vapor Trail, I would have been able to tell you what exact, I guess, skew that I'm shooting, but I don't know. All I know is it's limb driven and it has a V rest on it, like an L rest. So it comes up like that. So I don't even know.
I think you have the Pro V.
Okay. Yeah. Pro V. Bingo. Yeah. There it is.
Which is our best number one selling rest of all time. Yeah. So
yeah, it's badass. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what rest are you shooting?
Right now I have our latest and our latest and greatest is the PXI. They're actually just starting to ship today. But I'm shooting the previous model, which was the 8X, and we actually have a new prototype out that we're going to launch at ATA. Just got it put together, just got it assembled mechanically. It's functioning well. There's a few adjustments we want to make, but that is currently on one of my bows now, and so far so good. It's a beautiful arrow rest, and it's definitely going to change. I'm not going to say the industry, but I'm going to say it's definitely going to change things for us here at Vapor Trail.
Gotcha.
For sure.
Cool, man. We'll have to do another episode about that one coming up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sight. What sight are you running?
I'm shooting a dialed Arxos, and I'll be shooting their new prototype for their upcoming sight that they're going to launch. I think it's going to be in October or November. They've got a new version coming out, and so I'll be shooting that.
How do you spell that?
Dialed?
Dialed. So it's dialed archery
and the dialed name archery.
It's
called the Arxos, Arxos.
Okay. I'm looking it up right now. Okay. Oh, okay. Who I've seen this one before. This is with, who's the guy? He used to work for, not Tight Spot. Him and another
You're
guy.
Probably thinking about Scott Bakken.
Yeah. Yep. Is he with this company now?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
He's one
yeah.
of the owners.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. One of the owners. Okay. Yep. Cool. What is it about this sight that you like?
Well, it has an interesting take. It's different than any other rest you've seen on the market, and that is that it, you can see it's got that angle on its elevation adjustment, and the concept idea there is that you can get more out of your sight because of how it pulls the sight in closer to your bow as you go to longer distances, and so you don't have to arc your bow as much at longer distances, so it allows you to get more room out of your sight or longer distance. And then a lot of people go, well, and this was my first argument too, was, you know, isn't that going to change, you know, because it changes effectively the size of the scope visually, because now the scope is getting closer to you, and so will it change the way that you see it through your peep? And so that was an argument I had right away. But when I tried it, it's so minuscule, you don't even notice it. So
I gotcha.
And then just, you know, one of the things too that kind of was a little different for me, and it took me a little bit to figure it out, but they put the bubble level on the top of the scope housing. And again, another concern, but I'm always open to try new things. And so, Jordan Riley, he's like one of their creative guys there. And he was kind of trying to explain it to me how it kind of aids in lifting the bow. And then also you can get an additional amount of distance out of it because now they've got a second pin on the bottom and you don't have to be concerned with your bubble level getting in the way of that pin. And so, yeah. And now I can't, it'd probably be hard for me to go the other way because now I'm so used to it being on the top. So that's another feature that they've added in that's different than any of the other manufacturers. And I would say that's what attracted me to it the most is they're trying to do something different. Yeah. And now their next version of it is even better. So I'm pretty excited. Yeah. I've seen it. I haven't shot it. They're building me one right now. And then once I get it, I won't be able to really provide any content or anything like that until they launch in October, but we're going to be getting a ton of content of it with it on my bow. So
awesome. That's awesome, dude. Yeah. Now let me ask you this. I see it's a single pin. But on that pin, it has multiple red dots on it. Mm-hmm. Is that for like 20, 30, 40, and then you adjust from there, or how's that work?
It could be, but that's, you know, hypothetically speaking, it's not going to be. You essentially have multiple pins on your sight tape, and so then you can move, you know, you can move your dial to that specific pin, and that pin would then reflect that. Sorry, the pin that's on your tape would then reflect the pin that you're aiming with. And so again, allows you to get further distance because you're not, if you're solely relying on a single pin, you can only go down so far before your housing kind of starts to get in the way. So by having a pin at the very bottom, it gives you that added distance.
I gotcha now. That makes more sense.
So you have less likely to hit the bottom of your scope with your fletching or your arrow itself.
Gotcha. So okay. So that's where some extra yardage comes into play, and you don't like there is a bottom out point, obviously, but because they put those fibers in there at a smaller, you know, at the bottom, you can get an additional however many yards.
Yep, and it allows you to do multiple pin sizes too. So for your, you know, closer shots, you can run a 19th, you know, a 0.19 pin, and then for your longer distances, you can run a 0.10.
Okay, well, that's pretty sweet, man. That's something I might look into. However, I don't know, man. Like for me, my sights, I've hunted. Don't get me wrong, I've hunted with a single pin for a handful of years back in the day. I always had a problem with the fact that I had to adjust my sight if a deer was zigzagging through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 20, 30 yards, maybe you say to yourself, hey, I'm going to aim a little higher at 30 yards with my 20 pin, or I'd set it at 25 and then use that. Right.
Yep.
But I've had another scenario where out west, where you would think a single pin would just be awesome to have, you know, you get into range. But then I ran into a scenario where I had a mule deer quartering towards me, and so I had to drop my bow and twist. So I'm holding my bow, but then I also have my range finder in my hand, so I had to drop my range, you know, my range finder's on a string, I'm bouncing down, adjust range, and I ended up, because of that single pin scenario, a deer walked behind the ridge I was on, and then, so he was coming at me, I was coming over the ridge, and he was coming down the opposite ridge, and then back up the same opposite side, and then he got on top of me, and then he caught my wind, and then from there it was over. So it was really frustrating to have to go through that. Yep. With my multi-pin, I don't ever have to really do that. The only thing I really have to do is gap shoot at that point. But
yep.
Again, that's me, man. I get it. I understand it. And maybe it's something that I need to practice with or play around with. But single pins, I don't think they're for me, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just one of those things, right? Like, companies are just trying to provide options for what people like. Right. And I shot a multi-pin for many years. I shot Spot Hog, and I had a Seven Deadly Pins, and I used those quite a bit. And then just with the setups that I was starting to shoot and things like that, some of my pins were stacked so tight mm-hmm. that, you know, then I could start using just a single pin for, you know, 20 and 30. And then when I started going out west, somebody had told me, well, you really should think about getting a single pin, you know, then you're always just focused on that one pin. You don't have to worry about any others. You know, I've had a couple of moments where I used the wrong pin and shot over the deer's back, you know? And so, mm-hmm. And again, it's just all about, you know, how you practice. So I started using a single pin, and then I thought, well, you know, then they started doing, you know, multi-pin sliders. And I was like, oh, that's genius. Then I can have like a 3-pin for when I'm in the tree stand in Minnesota, because I'm not shooting more than 40 yards in the deep woods, you know. So I've got my 20, 30, 40 yard, and then I use my 40 yard as my floating pin to dial it down. But I just couldn't. I had gotten so used to a single pin that I couldn't adapt back to a multi-pin. So just went back to the single pin, and again, just always being in the habit of making sure that I'm, you know, checking my sight tape and doing all those kinds of things. But you definitely could run into those situations where you can't get a deer to stop and you're having to range, and then you're like, shoot, he's like 10 yards closer than he was before. You don't have any idea, so you want to make sure, and then you range again. And yeah, it's one of those tricky things. It's very situational, of course. But
that's fact. That's mm-hmm. fact. Well, I tell you what, man, this is a great place to end it. We've been BSing for about 50 minutes now.
Yeah, man.
Let me just say good luck this upcoming season, and hopefully your gear sticks out the entire season and mm-hmm. you find success, man.
Yeah, you too, brother. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences, and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity, and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently, too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences, and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity, and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently, too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.